Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever you may be. This is hashtag Christian Straight Talk. It's Ben and it's Simon, and we are going to be speaking straight out of the barrel of truth this morning. And we have a beautiful scripture this morning, and it is a follow-on from last week. And we just want to encourage you right now, never give up. And the title this week is Giants Will Fall. But it's coming out of the book of Exodus, chapter 14. We've got Simon as we gather around the mics this morning. God has loaded him with the word of God straight out of the barrel of truth. Wherever you are today, never give up, because giants will fall. Simon.
Amen to that, Ben. It's great to be back. We're back in that with hashtag Christian Straight Talk. I love what the Lord's doing through Christian Straight Talk and how we're coming straight out of the barrel of the truth. I love that, Ben, as well. So it's true. Yeah, we're talking about this is the third subject under the umbrella of fear is not an option. Last week we said stand still and Lord will fight for you. The week before we was fear is not an option, and this week it's giants will fall. Yeah, and Exodus 14:14 said stand still and the Lord will fight for you. And the Israelites, Ben, they'd seen some amazing things that God had done. I mean, how amazing is that? That they actually saw, Ben, you know, the Red Sea open.
Now, that, you imagine that? That would give me fear alone. And, you know, and we're talking about fear is not an option. You know, but to see nature, to see God just moving, holding back the waters, to hear the sound of the elements of nature being held back by the breath and by the word of God. Goodness, what was that like to see that?
You can imagine, couldn't you? Going down to, we're in Kent at the moment, so you know, nipping down to Folkestone or Dover and the Lord just parting the ways.
Goodness, all the way to France.
All the way to France.
All the way to France on dry ground.
On dry ground, Ben.
That's the key. Now, if the devil done that, it'd be muddy.
Well, if you try to, imagine trying to do, Moses going, come on, I've got an idea. We're going to, no, it wouldn't work, would it?
I think the dry ground has been put in the text for a very clear understanding that it has to be dry. Dry ground is solid ground. Dry ground will not hold you back. It will not be hard work. So when God said dry ground, the ground was firm. Now, that is a miracle on its own. It had been underwater for X amount of years, just saturated the top surface.
Well, would have been muddy. Sink, wouldn't you, Ben?
You've got no chance.
In the natural, you would sink.
Exactly. So there is miracle after miracle with God. Not only did he hold the waters back, but he makes your path dry and solid.
Until every last one of those Israelites had crossed over the Red Sea.
And then we see our friend, you know, the blonde bombshell, Pharaoh, in his chariot with the health secretary and all the others coming across, trying to grab him, the elite was coming after.
They were coming after, There was... The elite. Yeah, and the Lord just wait till they all got in there and just went, bosh, have that, you know.
I love what God said and what Moses put across to the Israelites. The Egyptians you see today, never see them again. What you see, God will end the terror. And I believe a lot of Christians are in terror.
That is, we mentioned that last week, didn't we? And Ben, that... I'm so pleased you the Lord's put it on your heart to bring that back up, because it's such an underrated bit of scripture. You see, you will never see again.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it? Because the Egyptians represented fear, control, manipulation, slavery, chains, pain, worry. It represented everything.
All that stuff.
Everything of oppression, of generations of... Now, what we've got to remember is, as well, years after years after years of being under the grip of Pharaoh, the children that were born... Now, this lines up with what we're in today. The children that were born into that generation would always look at Pharaoh, look at that house, and think that that was their normal, to be slaves to a system that was only for the elite. And that's what we got today. We got children being birthed that don't understand true freedom in Christ Jesus, because the system has them. The system is about trapping children early on and getting their thinking and their mentality and their understanding, their logic, and programming them to think that men can marry men, women can marry women, you can be who you want to be, do what you like. But really, that's not true.
That's crazy. It's crazy, Ben. Yeah, you're right. That's interesting the way you've gone down that route with that, you know, because it is true. That was the... And here's the thing. Many times, the Israelites wanted to go back to that.
Because it was the younger generation that was birthed in slavery. The older ones... look, it's pretty simple, isn't it? The older ones that were captured first were probably fighting Pharaoh all day long. Suddenly coming from being free in God and having the freedom, but then suddenly being a slave to Pharaoh and that system. So the older generations that got caught and taken under Pharaoh's hand and under the whip of Pharaoh, they would have fought that. But then their children that got birthed into that would have had a bit of an understanding that this isn't quite right. But then another generation would get birthed into it, and all they would see would be the whip of Pharaoh.
Ben, it's like...
And that becomes normal.
And we've said it time and time again. It's like the proverbial frog in the boiling water. In it. So what happened, if we go right back, what happened? Joseph was in in Egypt. He was a top guy there. And he got the 12, his 12 brothers. They all came over. And that's when they were looked after. And while Joseph was alive and while that Pharaoh was alive... everything was great, wasn't it?
Everything was great.
And it might have been great for a couple of generations, but all of a sudden, that history had got lost. And all of a sudden, the Egyptians said, they got worried. Because we've got a huge army of people here that are not Egyptian.
Yeah.
If they rose up, they could...
Flatten us.
See, there's the thing, the power of the people, if they rose up...
The crowd.
If the power of the people, they rose up, they could overtake them.
Yeah.
So what they did, they put in them in slavery, didn't they?
So they got them early on.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening to true believers. We're not talking about churchgoers. We're not talking about religious folk. Anyone that is a true believer will start to realise, and probably it's been accelerated over the last number of years, that fear is all around us, and there is a controlling attitude coming out of certain areas of culture and life that are trying to control Christians, not the world. It's coming against your faith. So there is the same as what the Israelites were facing then, we are facing today, and we've got to make sure that fear is not our option, that faith is the driver.
And, you know, you're going to get a certain amount of people that go...
I want to go back to Baked Bricks.
I want to stay where I am. You know, I want to stay where I am. I'm not. I want to go along to get along. I'm not bothered about standing up for my faith. I just want to keep my head down, do my shopping, and drive around, and not. And if I've got to stay in, I've got to stay in. But there'll be we're going to come on. There'll be people out there of a different spirit, who the Lord is raising up and saying, look, I've got something for you to do at this moment in time. And so we go through from the book of Exodus, you know, we go through all the laws and stuff of Leviticus, but we come into Numbers, Ben, where the Lord has said, I'm going to take you into this land of Canaan, and I'm going to take you into the promised land. Now, he's told them that. You're going to wipe out all before you. And so what they do, now, whether or not it was a wise thing to send 12 spies in or just go in, you know, you don't know. But what they did was send 12 spies in. Now, these were 12 leaders, weren't they? You know, they were...
Really interesting. Yeah. They were leaders.
They were leaders, yeah.
And that reflects today. So these texts that we're bringing out are a mirror image. They might be thousands of years old in historical writings, but it is relevant for today. Be careful of the leaders that are bringing a bad report.
An evil report, the Bible says.
Well, actually, Simon's just whipped me there with that one. It's an evil report. Yeah. So just because they are leaders doesn't mean to say that they're going to bring the right report. It has to be of the Word of God. What did they focus on? They focused more on the fear aspect.
Well, they went in, Ben, didn't they? And all of a sudden, they've gone, this land is a bit, it's a bit tasty. It's you know, we're in the land of milk and honey. Yeah, we are. It's great. But look at the size of these people. Yeah, these are the sons of Anak. You know, they've renamed Hebron, which was Abraham's burial place. And they've come back. And all of a sudden, they're saying, look, we've got these to fight, that we've got those to fight. And Caleb goes, hold on.
Hang on a minute.
This is the man of a different spirit with Joshua. He's gone, let us go up and we'll take possession of this land, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, he was a man of a different spirit. But the 10 other spies who came back said this. He said, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, an evil report of the land which they had spied out. And they end up saying at the end, he said, we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers. Listen to this. In our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So what they're saying is, they think, "Oh, I'm too small to do this."
So
they're applying, human thinking to what God wants you to, what God wants them to do.
It's quite interesting that what Simon's just pulled out there. It says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own sight. What you see yourself, you will become. Now, that is a very humanistic, that is a very natural thought pattern, that when you are faced with someone like the sons of Ark or Nephilim, and when you understand who they are and where they come from. But in verse 30, it says, and Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, we should go up before them and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So here we have leaders that are seeing the same thing, that have been given the same mission, that have been given the same word. And isn't it interesting how today that a lot of leaders are driving a different report? They are reading a different gospel. They're not looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are looking at what is around, and there's a different gospel that's being peddled. But what we've got to make sure is there are Nephilim before each and every one of us now. There are giants before us. There are mountains to climb. But we want to just encourage you straight out the barrel of truth, you know, that God is able. God is able.
And he
will drive your fear out.
And here's the thing. Like I said to you before, this group of Israelites, they had seen such amazing things that God had done.
And they were leaders.
And these were leaders. They'd seen stuff. By this stage, they had the Ark of the Covenant.
They was carrying.
They got God's word in tablet.
His presence was with them.
And yet they're still going. Yeah. They're still going. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they banded together and said, "Let's get a leader who's going to take us back to Egypt."
And the scripture says that. It says all of them were leaders of the Israelites. So each one of them was chosen from the different tribes. So they was leaders, they was well respected, they was well oiled, they knew they was in a position of leadership, they was in charge of people. Now this reflects leaders today, Christian leaders. I don't even know we can even call them Christian leaders, because you can't be a Christian leader if you're not in the Word of God and you're not putting God's Word first. There are a lot of religious leaders. There are a lot of leaders leading congregations that shouldn't be leading congregations, just as it was in the book that we are looking at now. But there are a few Calebs that are saying, come on, let's stand on the word.
There are a few Calebs. There are a few Joshuas out there. Thank the Lord for them. But what does God say? Look what God says about these people. He says to Moses, he said, how long will these people reject me?
Yeah.
And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?
There you go.
So the giant here, for all of them, is unbelief. They're not believing God.
No, they're not believing.
This is God. And he's told them, I'm going to give you that land.
That's your land.
That's your land.
But also what's really interesting, he said to them, I'm giving you that land. That is the promised land. And that land is for you. But this is clear. When you go into the land of Cana, do not copy or imitate the way that they live. What happened as soon as they got into that land that God had given them? Clothes off, debauchery, party time, living as that culture. And that is really critical for us today, that we don't follow that culture that is around us, that we don't copy it and imitate. We've got to be very careful of the crowd that is around us.
Yeah, we have to, you know, that great scripture, we have to be in the world but not of the world. And every time you feel yourself being pulled into the world, you've got to remember, you're not of the world.
You're not of the world. Yeah. You are free. You are a child of the living God, and fear is not an option. And you have to go by faith. You have to go in the power of God's word. You have to go in faith. And we can bring this into the New Testament as well, because in Matthew chapter 14, Christ addresses the issue of Peter and his fear. Even though Peter jumped out of the boat, and what's interesting, Simon's made a really interesting point and a comment of where the leader said, "We seem like grasshoppers in our sight and also in their sight. What you see yourself, you will become." And if you see fear, each and every one of us live by natural sight, but the Bible tells us that we've got to go by faith. So with my natural eyes, I will see culture and society and everything around me, and it will drive fear to me. But I've got to remember, I've got to go by faith. So when you look at Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23, Christ, he looks at Christ, they look at Christ across the shoreline, and as he's walking, they think Christ is a ghost. And what had happened is that they've been put out to sail. Christ had been put them out to go ahead of them. And what we find is that they've been out for a number of hours, and their vessel that they were sailing in was battered. It says that their boat was buffeted. Now, I believe that where we live today and the nation we live in today, and as a believer like me and Simon, we are not set to sail in the ocean of as the place they was across the lake, but we are in the ocean of life, and the devil is trying to buffet us, because the scripture says their boat was buffeted hour after hour. And what happens is, when the devil buffets our life, or the vessel, this earth suit, this skin that we're living in, when we keep getting the storm battering against us, it will drive fear. Fear changed his vision, because they thought it was a ghost, even though it was Christ. And then very clearly after that, they said, "If it is you, call me and I will come to you." See, there's a difference between seeing and hearing.
Ben, yeah, that's very true, and that's a good point you make. But the underlying giant, again, is unbelief.
Yeah, what did Jesus say to him? Do not doubt.
Do not doubt. Do not doubt.
Do not doubt.
And so with the spies and Joshua and Caleb, God has just turned and he's gone, "Look, how long shall I bear this evil congregation who complain against me?"
Yeah.
And in the end, he's gone, "All but Joshua and Caleb, anyone over 20 will rot in the desert." That's what he's said there. He's given them a sentence there. You know, even Moses and Aaron, they won't go into that promised land.
You're not going to make it. Why?
Because you grumbled and complained, and you went along with what the majority said rather than the minority, which was standing up for me.
Mm.
You know.
So culture and society, through what we see today, will drive fear. I cannot be dismayed. I cannot be in a because what I see, because this is the 12 spies that were sent out, the leaders from each tribe that were sent out, they see the exactly same thing as Caleb see. They see the exactly same giant. They see the exactly same first ripe grapes. They went down the same valley. Now, I think this is critical for anyone that calls themselves a believer in Christ Jesus, because fear cannot be an option. Giants will fall in your life, and we have to stand firm. Fear is a massive driver that the devil, Lucifer, uses, because if he can land an arrow of fear, he will do anything. He will do anything to get us to take our eyes off Jesus. The scripture says very clearly, doesn't it, Simon, in Hebrews, keep your eyes on the, fix your eyes rather on the author and the perfecter of your faith. fix your eyes.
Totally.
Vision is important.
But I can't stress enough that the driver for fear is unbelief. It has to be. So there again, if we go into, if we dip into Mark 11:23, this is the famous scripture that Jesus said. In talking about the withered fig tree, Jesus said, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart."
Ooh.
See, people miss that bit out.
Mm.
Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. Because it's belief.
It's belief.
It's,
I've got to believe. So how do I believe? How do I get myself into this position of out of fear, of out of worry, of out of the other situation like the spies were in? Because all I look around, I feel like a grasshopper. I see the Nephilim as the government. I see the Nephilim as the financial press of life. I see Nephilim. I see these giants in front of me. I see Jericho. I see Goliath. I see all this stuff. But help
me. How
do
you overcome it?
How do I overcome it?
Ben, you overcome it by remembering your history.
Come on, tell me more.
What I mean by that is, write down all the amazing things God has done in your life.
Okay.
Write down all the stuff. Write down when he brought you to salvation, the day that you came to faith through Jesus Christ. Write down all the things that he's done, the amazing things he's done in your family, the God instance, not the coincidence, the stuff that has been brought into your family. I mean, what the Israelites did at one stage, they anything great that happened, they put made a memorial stone to them, and they celebrated that. But we don't remember what we do. We focus on what you said before. We focus on the stuff that the enemy wants you to focus on, which is the fear and the doubt. But if we remember the amazing things, if God pulled me through that, he can pull me through this.
Yeah.
And that's how we overcome that giant of unbelief. And if you overcome that giant of unbelief, all the other giants look like grasshoppers.
So it switches.
Like, it switches, yeah.
So
can you see, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. I clearly get that. So it's really important for me that I've got to remember that my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So what I see, I cannot allow it to affect my faith. And I've got to rise in faith. And how do I rise in faith? The scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I've got to be in the word of God. And I do believe there are a lot of Christians that battle doubt, because that's what Peter's issue was when he was walking on the lake as well. Because when Christ stretched out his arm, he said, "Why are you doubting, O ye of little faith?"
Ben, fear and doubt are the two biggest.
They're twins. They run together. They're brothers.
And the enemy loves fear and doubt. If he can get you to fear or doubt,
they both. You can't separate, can you? Fear and doubt.
They're
the same gene. They're connected. They're twins. They're joined together.
When
you've got
fear,
you've got doubt. When doubt comes in, it releases fear. So when I'm in that position, I'm in my human strength.
You're in your own strength.
I'm in my own strength.
Which is weakness.
So,
which is a good place.
It's a good, when I'm weak, then he is strong. You know, it's so, so important that I keep in the word of God.
But not just in the word, Ben, it's believing the word of God. Because here's the deal, people will say, I say Psalm 91 over my life, or Psalm 23 over my life. You got to believe it. The Psalm 91 says, "If I dwell in the shelter, if you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." You got to believe it.
I think with
you've got to believe the word of God.
You're so right. I think with this as well, it brings into the conversation that no one don't really want to ask yourself: Am I saved? Am I truly saved?
That's you, Jenna.
Am I? Now I know that I am saved. I know I'm saved. I know, okay? I know my name is stamped in the Lamb's Book of Life, but Even though I'm saved and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus and I'm heaven bound, I still have times of fear.
Of course.
Because that's the human me.
And we can operate in that and it'll be a complete distraction.
And the world wants to feed the human me.
And the world will want you to put a plan in place, a strategy or a strategy in place.
I think we'll go for strategy.
They want you to put that in place to move forward. But God says, you don't need any of that.
Live by faith.
That's all he's saying.
So
live
faith,
by belief in me, which is faith.
So faith and fear run very close together, don't they? Because we see it in characters of the Bible. We see it in characters. So it's, can I say that it could almost be built in our DNA that it runs with humanity, whether you're a believer or a non-believer?
You can say that, Ben.
Because it's part of, isn't it? It's part of. But then comes something that you can only get from God, faith.
That's why when we look at the scripture, in Ephesians, the armour of God, the shield is the shield of faith.
So without being a born-again believer, without being that born-again believer, knowing that you are saved, you don't have any faith. You don't have any hope because you're in a humanistic society.
Yeah, you put your trust in now. In the now, in the natural, in the human.
What is at this moment.
But that's never going to sustain you, is it?
No, because it is fear-driven. So the world is driven by Lucifer. A lot of people won't agree with that. You know, you get people that will catch these podcasts, atheists, and people to listen. But there is two drivers, I really believe, that drive a human being and a believer. I think that when you are not saved, when you are of the world, you can't experience faith in any way, shape or form, because faith comes from hearing the word. So the world has a different understanding of faith.
Listen, if you are in the world, then everything has to make sense.
Yeah, it has to compute. It has to line up with the computer, with the statistics, science, ethics,
all that sort of stuff.
Everything.
Faith doesn't.
No.
Faith, because you're putting your faith in a supernatural God.
And the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those that love him.
And the thing is, if you're a believer out there and your shield of faith is all new and shiny, then you ain't really in a battle, are you, mate?
Get ready. All we'll do is just tell you, stay under the duvet, just be ready, because as soon as you open that front door, there's going to be an arrow firing.
I've got in round my gym, I put scriptures on the wall. I think you've seen it,
and
one of them is the shield of faith. And I found an old riot shield, police riot shield, on eBay, and so I bought it. And I thought that'd be great to put under the shield of faith. When it arrived, I was a bit disappointed because it was smashed to pieces. It was battered and bruised, rusted nails. But then I thought, this is how the shield of faith should be.
Yeah.
Because when we got it in front of us and we're fighting all those arrows of fear and stuff, like you said, it's going to get roughed up, isn't it? It's going to get bashed. Yeah.
On the outside.
So that's where our shield, we stand behind the shield of faith, which is Jesus Christ. Of faith is Jesus Christ. We stand behind him, and he takes the bruises, the arrows, all the stuff that comes at us. Because we're his, and he would look after us. And as you said, we are in his hand, and he will protect us. So that's where we stand. So Jesus has taken all that stuff for us.
Yeah.
And we can stand behind the shield of faith and follow Jesus into whatever situation the Lord has called us into.
Yeah.
So fear and doubt might look like giants, but when you follow Jesus, fear and doubt...
Become a grasshopper. So it's got...
Isn't that brilliant?
It's amazing how the Word of God switches and flicks everything over. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, I'm going to read this out because Simon has given me the trigger point to say this. Verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm."
Stand firm.
So when I stand firm, then he goes on and says something really important, "And you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today." So there's two things that need to happen. I need to stand firm, and when I stand firm behind the shield of faith, then I will see God move.
You see God move. Look, the two examples in the New Testament with Jesus, with faith.
Ben,
the woman with the situation of blood, right? She'd paid all her money out to physicians.
She'd give everything, skin, finish.
It's absolutely skin, and yet nothing had worked.
Isn't that interesting? I'd give everything to the pharmaceuticals, and I got nothing back.
You give everything to Big Pharma, who just wants you to be taking more and more drugs.
And
more rubbish in your system, and it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. So but then suddenly,
she fights through the crowd, and she just touches the
if I can just touch the hem
of his cloak.
If I can just touch the hem of his cloak or his garment, if I can just touch that.
Yeah.
Now, there was a massive crowd around the Messiah. The disciples, this is really interesting, isn't it? The disciples were crowding him. The lawgivers were around him. Society and culture was around him. As it is today, the lawgivers are around him. The religious folk are around him. Yeah. But when someone touches him with their heart, when they connect with the heart,
it gets his attention, Ben.
He stopped his journey.
He got his attention. Ooh.
Who touched me? But Lord, they said, you are surrounded.
Yeah.
And we're in a small alleyway. We're on a journey and we're being barged and pushed. How can you say who touched you?
So you're right, Ben. You're exactly right. You can imagine that. We all know what it's like to be in a crowd. You can imagine. But here we have a woman with intent.
Yeah. With a faith. Hunger. With a faith. Hunger and a faith, if I can.
So none of them around him.
They was barging him, they was pushing him, they was taking him to...
They wanted stuff for themselves.
Yeah, going to Jairus' house, you know, on a different journey. Jesus was on a different journey. I love this text because Jesus was on a different journey. And because he's the Word, he knew that this was going to happen, but he carried on his journey because it has to be the action. There comes a time. We cannot earn our salvation. Salvation is given as a gift. But once I'm saved and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, then I have a responsibility of walking by faith. And let me tell you, there is a crowd around Jesus now. There is a crowd in your situation and Christ is calling you. Come. Come to me, all of you that are weary, heavily laden, and I will give you rest. But you might think that it's impossible to get through. The pastor that is around Jesus, the bishop, the pope, all religion is around Jesus. But just touch him with your heart.
Touch him with your heart. Touch Connect. Him with your heart. Connect.
Connect with him.
And the condition of the blood was healed.
Healed.
For her faith. And then just another one, Ben, with Jesus was the centurion, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, he said, look, I'd say to many people, go here, go there.
Mm.
I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I will be healed. You know, or my son will be healed. Yeah. And what an amazing faith that had there.
But it's amazing, isn't it? You just say the word.
Just say the word.
Just say the word. God is telling you now, he loves you. Be encouraged. Do not let fear. Do not let doubt. Do not look at Pharaoh. Do not look at culture and society. Do not allow the enemy to land that arrow that could change your thinking. Just like that great prophet who prayed for rain and rain stopped and rain fell. And he was running the second time he prayed for the heavens to open. The heavens open and the rain fell upon him. But what's really important in this text is that when you're running in your miracle, get ready for Jezebel to try and destroy you in your miracle. He prayed for rain and rain came and him and his servant ran. But as he was running, he was soaking wet in the miracle that he had prayed for. It's very clear that Jezebel sent him a message while he was in the miracle that he prayed for. Be careful, the devil knows. The devil is very strategic in the way that he operates. You're running in your blessing, you're running in your miracle, but shut down any inroads to messengers coming your way. Do not be driven to the broom tree or the juniper tree where the prophet fell and he said, enough now, Lord. Enough now, Lord. I need to die. No, no, no. You are a child of the living God. Keep going. Keep going. Do not let doubt and do not let fear be the driver of your life. You were not created for that.
you're going to miss what the Lord's got in store for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And switch it, like
switch it.
And in the Word of God,
I've got to switch it.
Let these giants,
yeah,
in your life. And we're talking to people. There may be people out there, and I know because I see them on a daily basis, that have let fear and doubt rule their lives for years. That they'd be the giants in their lives for years. But when you face them, and when you come at them with the shield of faith, my friends,
come on,
with Jesus Christ, and that's one thing that the prophet didn't have. He didn't have Jesus, did he? You know,
no.
And we got Jesus.
We got Jesus.
And as you said, that wonderful scripture, you said it, Matthew 11:28.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
Come to me, all those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah, he will give you rest.
Believe that scripture.
I've got to believe it.
Believe it. And these giants will fall, and
yeah,
and you'll tread on them, just like grasshoppers.
Giants
will fall, my friends. And remember what God has done for you in the past.
Yeah.
Don't look at this thing that's right in front of you that's causing that barrier to you getting to where God wants you to go. Because God, if he's called you to it, he'll pull you through it. And that is the belief. Stand up, fight these giants, and they will fall. There was only two that went into the promised land from all the people over 20.
That is like, see, it's really important for me that I do not live. Fear is not an option. Fear is not an option. I'm not jumping into the arena with Lucifer every day of my life. I'm not jumping into the arena with witches and witchcraft. I'm not jumping into the arena with wizards. I'm jumping into the arena most of the hours of my day with me.
With yourself. Yeah.
So I've got the gloves on my own. I'm beating myself up.
You're fighting yourself.
Because I'm fighting two things, fear and doubt.
And doubt.
Fear and doubt.
So look what happened, right? So here we have Joshua and Caleb. Right, they went into the promised land 40 years after they'd originally.
That's half a lifespan for most of us.
So these guys were in their 80s.
They was in their retirement home.
But it tells you look what Joshua did. But Caleb, he took Hebron and he defeated the giants of Anak. He defeated them. He took them. In his 80s, he took them. Because of his belief. And the Lord had... He didn't do it in his own strength. Because
no.
Here's the thing. If we remember back to that scripture in Numbers, Moses said to them, you know, God is not happy with you. And they said, well, we'll go in now. And they went in now. And what happened? They got defeated, didn't they?
Because
they went in their own strength.
Yeah.
No, you don't go in your own strength. You go in behind a shield of faith. And we have Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Caleb defeated the giants. And we can defeat any giants that come in with faith and belief.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we've got power. There's
power. And I think Simon has opened up a topic that timing is critical as well. Timing.
Time is critical.
Your timing is critical. So how do I find out the right time? Like what Simon was saying, we'll go in now. No, what I've got to do is consecrate myself. Repentance. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've made a mistake. I've gone down a warren. I've gone down a rabbit hole. And Lord, I've done and I've been indulging in what the world is. But Lord, now I come to you and I say, Lord, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. I don't want to go any more in doubt and fear. I don't want to be going by logic and understanding. I want to go in faith. So timing is really critical.
Time is crucial, Ben.
Take time out of the world and spend time in the Word of God. That will deal with so much.
Ben, there's three answers to faith, isn't there?
Three
answers to prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, no, and not now.
Exactly. That's right.
So timing is critical.
Timing is critical. So
go when God says yes, stay when God says no, and when God says not now, rest.
Yeah,
rest.
That's right.
Rest in the Lord.
And like I'm like a racehorse. I'm gone.
And God says, hold on a minute.
Hey, Ben.
You jumped the gun there, didn't you? You went out of the stalls.
You're a year ahead of yourself. No wonder you're exhausted and you battered yourself.
It's true.
But Lord. No, what are you doing over there, Elijah? in that cleft of that rock. What? Yeah, but Lord, I want to. Where did he send the prophet? Back. God will take you back through the wilderness to deal with what's got to be dealt with. So you might as well start listening and taking time out and don't run ahead.
Listen, and this is crazy, Ben, because we're already 40-odd minutes into this podcast and it doesn't seem like we've even touched anything, does it?
No.
But one thing, as we come into the last sort of 5-10 minutes, is that be very careful what you say, because the enemy can't read your mind, but he can hear what you say. So if you're hearing, if you're saying defeating things, if you're saying, oh no, that's, I can't do that, that's too much, that's too much, you're giving him a foothold to make a stronghold.
Yeah.
So we have to look at the words of Joshua and Caleb, you know.
Yeah.
No, we can defeat these giants. No, yeah, we can go in. And we have to praise the Lord. I would advise anybody, if you're in a situation that you feel is dark, if you're in a situation that's fearful, if you're in a situation of depression, maybe that's a giant in your life, we've got to praise the Lord in all circumstances. Praise God. He says that in Hebrews, doesn't it? He says that in the Psalms. It says that in Psalm 23.
Your praise will always be on my lips.
It says that in Isaiah 43, yeah. 2, which was something you mentioned last week. As we walk through the water, I will be with you. Go through the fire, I'll be with you.
Praise is powerful.
It says it, especially in Isaiah 61, 3. And if we look at that, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
So we praise the Lord in all circumstances, so we don't give the enemy a foothold in our lives. As soon as we start complaining or moaning or grumbling like the Israelites, that gives the enemy a massive foothold.
Because words in the book of James makes it very clear.
James makes it
the
clear.
Tongue is the smallest muscle in the body, but it is the most powerfulest. Whether it's going to edify someone and encourage someone, or I'm going to tear someone down.
Well, we're going to do a podcast on words and encouragement. That's coming up. That's one for the future, Ben. Words are so powerful, and words are so powerful that we speak out over our own lives.
Yeah.
Scripture is so powerful when we speak it out and believe it over our own lives. And we start, if you start the day by, just get half a dozen, decent, powerful, life, faith-bringing scriptures and speak them out, that sets the day, doesn't it, Ben?
It does, Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That is in Romans chapter 5. Yeah. Very clear.
Very clear.
I hear the word. When I'm driving or when I'm walking or whatever I may be doing, I can put my headset on, I can put the audio on in the car, I can have it in the house, I can have it for any device. I can hear the word of God.
And speak it out.
And start speaking it.
Start speaking it out.
I can do all things.
Start speaking it out. Through Christ.
I can.
Because of Christ.
Yes.
I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Do you know, all these things are powerful scriptures. My soul finds rest in the Lord alone.
Yeah.
You're my rock, my fortress, my salvation. In you I will not be shaken. This stuff
is powerful.
It's powerful.
Fear is not an option.
It gets in. Words are like seeds. They go into our body. And so when the enemy comes and tries to tell you that you're no good, how can you achieve that?
How does he come in, Simon? The scripture says the enemy comes in like a flood.
Like a flood.
He comes in with a powerful press.
With a powerful, like a roaring lion.
But then the scripture says God will lift up a standard.
God will. You see, we can end with that, Ben, because you do not have to fight the battle, because the battle is the Lord's.
Stand
because
still.
Because you are the Lord's. If you're a born again,
you've been bought. The ransom has been paid, so you don't own yourself.
Don't live in the past.
No, you don't own yourself, Simon and Ben. Whoever's listening, we are not owners of ourselves. If you are a believer in Christ and know that your Redeemer lives, you have been bought. You've been purchased.
And your life.
With the blood of Jesus.
The life.
Your so life he is responsible for us.
He's responsible for us.
He's our Father. He will look after us.
You just stand behind the shield of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, come on.
It's not rocket science, Ben. Otherwise, me and you wouldn't be putting this together.
No.
To not, you know, you're an ex-bricklayer, aren't you?
Yeah.
A lot of you was in the old build. We wouldn't be putting this together.
Pole dancer by night.
You know, well, whatever.
Whatever.
You
no, know. I was talking about you. No, do you know what? This is root. So what Simon is saying, this is so critical. Stand behind faith. Stand in the Word of God. As we've read out, so many scriptures have come across the mics today, but Christ will fight for you.
Christ will fight for you. Yeah. Stand still. Stand still.
We've reached it.
Exodus 14:14, stand still, and the Lord will fight for you.
Yeah, this week has been so fast and so quick. We pray that God will continue these scriptures in your heart. We pray that God will just accelerate your faith in him. We pray that God will lead you into a deeper and a greater walk, because giants will fall.
The giants will fall in your life. And if you're not walking with Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him into your life, then we just say that just open your heart and accept. You don't have to say anything or a prayer or anything, but just accept Jesus in your heart. Bring to him all this stuff that you're fearful of. Bring to him all the stuff you're struggling with. Accept, like me and Ben, that you're a sinner, and turn away from that stuff and accept Jesus Christ. And then you've got the promises of God to believe in. And Jesus will fight for you. God will fight for you. The Holy Spirit will be there convicting you. And you've got all that in your armory. So I say, wherever you are right now, just reinforce your faith in Jesus Christ. Get behind the shield of faith and walk forward and follow Jesus. Because, as Ben said, the giants will fall before you, and they will look like grasshoppers in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're done. We're finished. We thank you so much for joining us today, wherever you are across the earth. May God strengthen you and bless you. You have been listening to Simon Pinchbeck. You've been listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper. And it is pretty simple. It is hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Wherever you are, never give up. God is with you. We will catch you very, very soon. In Jesus' name. Amen.